lest he be just behold the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all these things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. May the Lord bless the words of this scriptural portion. Now we are coming closer to the end of one more year. Only few more days are remaining. When we think about the last one year, various, as usual, we have gone ups and downs in our life, various things. Overall, we can consider that the Lord has taken care of us during the whole year. There was pains, agonies. Of course, there's occasions of joy, but God's grace was there upon us. For the last few days, I was in Andhra, as you were praying for me. About more than 12 days I was there. Some of the places, about 3-4 places, we had special meetings. Mostly of the believers were there. It was a good time to share the God's word with the believers. But one day I felt that I should share the gospel. I shared, and I could see about 2 souls came. This was a small meeting, but 2 souls came forward. One of from another background, from a Hindu background, he accepted the Lord as his savior. Please uphold the one who has come forward and accepted the Lord. And mostly it was 3 meetings were in Hyderabad. Afterwards I moved to coastal Andhra. And it was a good time there also. We had 2-3 days continuous meeting. Meeting is not evening meeting. It's not like Bombay that only evening meeting. It starts by 9, it ends by 9. That's the thing. Continuous meetings are there. I think more than 20... About 20 messages I have shared during these days. You know, it's a continuous process. Anyhow, Lord's grace was there, your prayers were there. I thank for that. One interesting thing which happened this time is that some believers in the western Godavari district, in that assembly, some medical students are there, 4 or 5 medical students are there. As they knew that I am reaching there for the meetings, they organized a Christmas like last year we had here, a Christmas celebration like that. They named it, and they organized in a hotel, is a hired hotel, and they invited their friends for that program. About 200 medical students were there. That was really a good thing, and even their principal and the staff members were there. And I was not knowing that the staff members will be there and all. I thought they are calling their friends only. When I reached only, I understood the whole series like a medical college only. Almost all medical college students were there. And but Lord has laid upon me a clear gospel. I shared with them John 3:16. That was the message. I said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Very clearly, about 40 minutes I shared from that verse, nothing else. And I do believe definitely that message might have gone deep in their hearts. I said Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and we are sinners. There's only two places to go, either heaven or hell, and you have to decide on this earth where you have to go. And it is whosoever, irrespective of any person, God has opened the door for you, and believe in Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ be born in your heart. That was the message I shared with them. I'm sure the message might have gone into the hearts of the professors as well as the students there. Please continue to uphold the ministry which I had shared. The word which we shared will never return in void. That is what the Bible says. It will always bear fruit. And pray that in the coming days, in the eternity, we could be able to see some fruit of these ministries and our prayers. I was thinking these days about various aspects, especially our assembly also. We have a lot of, as I told you, we have a lot of matters to pray. When I left the place, Baker Andy was in ICU. I could not see her. I was in a that time I heard about it. I was praying for her, and I could come again and see her, and Lord has restored her. Of course, she was very weak in her body, because I was very closely having some affection, motherly affection to her, because when I was a small boy, even as a young boy, when I was used to preach in Santa Cruz about more than 25 years before, she always encouraged me, and really was a constant encouragement for me in my ministry. So I was praying for her so that Lord should enable me to come and meet her, and really Lord has answered the prayer. So likewise, many those who are weak in our body are here in our assembly, in old age and other reasons are there. And especially I was remembering about our dear Benny. For the last so many years, we were praying for our little Benny. And I think it is a great concern for us. We need, as an assembly, earnestly we should pray. Sometimes we pray that Lord has not answered all these 20 years. I do believe the Lord is a God who answers the prayer. It may be delayed, but definitely He will answer. We don't know how He is going to answer. His answers are definite. So, we should pray for Him. I was sharing, I was sitting with him for some time and sharing with him. And it is needed that we should encourage him, visit him, and we should especially remember all the family members, Brother Matthews and sister, and others also. So when I was thinking about it, some of the words which came to my mind that just thought I will share with you. Because we know that in this human life, poor, whether rich or poor, whoever may be, we have sufferings are there. Sufferings are unavoidable. We read in the scripture, the Sheth begot Enosh, that is what we read. And from the time of Enosh, we read that the people started to call upon the name of the Lord. Or they started to pray, that is what is meant. Now, the word Enosh means mortal. See, when man realizes that he is mortal, he is weak, he is feeble, that is the time then we depend upon the Lord. Sometimes I always wonder why God so much of hospitals. If you go to the hospital, so sick people only, isn't it? But the reverse thoughts comes to my mind. If there is no hospital, what would have happened? All would have boasted, you know that. Nobody would have cared anything. We are all realizing that we are weak. We are mortals. The sufferings are the part of the life. It is not that it is bad. It is really one way. It is a thing that God has given us so that we can approach Him. We will be coming closer to Him. That is what we see in the life of Enosh. Enosh means mortal. And from that time onwards, when man realized that he is mortal, he is weak, he is feeble, and from that time onwards, they started to call upon the name of the Lord. But sometimes it is unbearable for us. It is very difficult for us to bear. And we have to depend upon the Lord for the grace to bear the sufferings and the afflictions in the life. Some people think that the afflictions and the sorrows are coming because of our personal sins and all. It's not like that. When we are obedient to God, when we are following the will of God, even at the midst of that, the afflictions comes. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the best example for that. He was obedient to Father. And because of that, what happened? Being obedient, we see that he endured the sufferings for us. And he obedient, and he died on the cross of Calvary because of obedience. He suffered for us. So obedience to God's word doesn't mean that we will not have suffering. Not like that. Sometimes when we obey him, the sufferings will come. So here in the book of James chapter 5, we read that James speaks about this aspect of sufferings. To overcome the suffering, there are various means are there in this passage, 7 to 20, the last passages. Verse 7 to 12, he speaks about the patience, power of patience. That is, the suffering comes, but we need patience. Difficulties comes, patiently we have to endure the difficulties. Verse 13 to 20 onwards, there is another part, the power of prayer is mentioned. So two things are there. One, we need a patience, we need the prayer. Now it is very difficult to understand the exact meanings of all these things, but careful study will help us to understand what James means in verse 7 to 12. He speaks about the patience we needed. Really what he means is this one. This world is a deteriorated condition. It is a very sad situation. Sufferings are there in this world. Problems are there in the world. The only consolation for us is that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. We cannot improve this world, a ruined world. The only thing that our Lord is going to come, that is what he repeatedly three times here is mentioning about the coming of the Lord. So in the midst of the suffering, one of the consolation for us is that our Lord is coming soon. That is why the Thessalonians chapter 4, the last verse says like that, comfort one another this with these words. So the coming of the Lord is a comforting word. Now, how far? We always say that even our grandfather, great-grandfather, they were all talking about the coming of the Lord. He has not come yet, isn't it? We always think about it. Now, he is giving the answer for that. What is verse 7? We read like that. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Patiently, we have to wait. We need a long suffering unto the coming of the Lord. Now, in the following passages, he gives three examples of patience. One, from the natural area, he takes an example. He takes the example of a farmer. That we need patience. In verse 10, he gives an example of a prophet. We need patience. Third, in verse 11, he gives the example of the life of Job. A man endured the patience. So the patience are very important for the Christian life. Throughout the scripture we see that God advises, or the God's word advises, that we should have patience. And we see that though there are many people, they were impatient. And the impatience can cause damage in our spiritual life. It can bring adverse effect in our life. So, when we face problems in our life, first and most thing is that we should patiently endure or bear that suffering. Now, he gives an example, verse 7. We see that we should wait for the Lord's coming. Behold, verse 7, behold the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it
until he received the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. See, you look at the farmer, he says, how he waits? He patiently waits. He waits for the rain, the early rain, then he prepares the land and sows the seed. Then again he patiently waits. He cannot do anything. He has a limitation. He can only sow the seed, that's all. Who brings the growth? The God brings the growth. So he has to patiently wait. And when God brings the rain, and at the end, the harvest time, again the God brings the rain. So early rain as well as the latter rain he brings. And he was so happy that the labor of his work, the labor is ready. Now precious seeds are coming. How it came? Because he patiently waited. Only a matured, a man who understands the growth of the plants, who understands the farming, he only can wait patiently. If it is a child is given this duty to do something, the child won't understand. I remember in the childhood, you know that there was a small boy, a young boy, he saw a rose flower somewhere else. And he's so much impressed with the rose. He said, how this rose is coming? Somebody said that you have to cut a stem of the rose plant and you have to keep it there, and after some time the rose flower will come. Oh, he was so excited. So he also asked that some branch, a small cut was made, a small stem was taken, and he took it home and he made all this the soil and all ready, and he kept that stem there. After 2 days, he just went and saw whether the root has come or not. The root was not there. Again, he kept it there. After a few days, again he went and took the stem and saw whether root is there or not. You know what will happen. That is a childish behavior. There is no patience to wait. He should have waited there till the root comes. He cannot go on or see whether the root is there or not. He knows that whatever he has to do, he has done that. But once he did that, he has to patiently wait to bear the fruit. So many a time we are impatient, like children. And because of the impatience, the fruit will not come in our life. So here the job, James says that, if you want to bear the fruit, you want to take the fruit, the precious fruit, you have to patiently wait as the farmer waits. Now many a time what happens is that, when the things are not right, then verse 9, you see what the people will do. Murmur not one against another, brethren, lest he be judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. When the things are not favorable for us, when we are getting upset, what is the thing? We start murmuring. Murmuring is a sign of impatience. You look at the history of Israel in Egypt. We see that they were always murmuring, and the murmuring, whenever they murmured, it was a sign of impatience. So a person who is impatient cannot wait for a long time. He will go on murmuring. He will murmur against God. He will murmur against his fellow believers. So the scripture says that we as believers patiently wait as a farmer waiteth. Because in this world, we have sufferings and the problems. And these sufferings and the problems can be completely eradicated only at one time. That is when the Lord comes. So we have to patiently wait for the Lord's coming. Now, the second example he gives, let us look at that. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets. He's giving another example. First he gave the example of the farmer. Now he is giving the example of the prophets. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now you look at the page. God sent the prophets, many prophets. And whenever they spoke, what happened? They had problems. The people never accepted it.
And always they endure sufferings. They face problems in the life of Jeremiah. Look at that. He was so concerned about the people of Israel. He was so loving, patriotic prophet he was. And he was talking to the people, but people hated him very much. Whatever they could do, they did it. They threw him into the prison. They threw him into the dungeon. But it was full of mud and mud was there. So all the suffering Jeremiah underwent. And why he underwent? Not because of his sin. But on the contrary, he suffered, he obeyed the God's word. He followed the will of God. But we see that in all this suffering, they endured patiently. They suffered very well. In the case of Daniel, we know that. There is nothing wrong in his life. Absolutely perfect. In office also he was perfect. But people manipulated and finally he landed up in the den of lion. So many prophets we see that. The Elijah, he was so grieved when the people of nation of Israel was after the Baal and the worshipping the idols. He prayed to the Lord. And Lord, shut the doors of the heaven. There was no rain. When there was no rain, who also suffered? Even Elijah also suffered. Isn't it? He has to run away. The effect that was there upon him also. But he endured all his long suffering. We see that he endured because for the sake of the God. So this in this world we have sufferings. That is what the second example is giving. Suffering, afflictions. We have afflictions in this world. Don't think that many of the time we think that the afflictions and the sorrows are coming because we have done some grave mistakes. People also think about, oh, why that brother is having like this problem? No, because maybe something may wrong. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Maybe in some cases, maybe there. But it's not always. Here we see the prophets, example of the prophets. They were obedient, perfectly obedient to God. And they did the will of God. In the midst of that, they had to suffer. Patiently, they suffered for the sake of the gospel. So, the patience are very important. That is what here he says. And why ultimately, what is happening? The God blesses us. Now the third example let us examine. See, the Job. If you look at the life of Job, we know that very well. God himself certified that he was a perfect and upright man. Oh, if an upright man, he suffers. But his friends thought that he is having some hidden sins in him. They came to comfort him. But actually, the Job says that you are miserable comfort. Some are the miserable comforters are there. They came there to comfort. But they could not comfort him. On the contrary, they were causing pain. With the words, they were causing pain. There are some people like that. But Job suffered all this. Even his wife also could not tolerate all these things. What the wife said, okay, it's enough. You are all these days, you are praying to God and all. Now, what do you do? Curse God and finish it. That's all. Yeah, somebody was said that she could not find any fault in him. You know, she found fault in God. He was so nice, that is at least a good thing. The wife was thinking, no man, my husband is perfectly all right. Otherwise, you correct this much, then you think about it. But she didn't say to correct something from the life of Job. Job was a very good husband. His wife could not find any fault in the life of Job. But she found fault with God. And said, you die. See, at the time of said, then what she said? What is that? You are talking like a fool. I thought you are a wise lady, but now you are talking like a foolish lady. Okay, whatever maybe, he had undergone a lot of problems. But in the midst of all, what says that? He never lost the faith in God. I think a few verses we will read in that connection from the book of Job. Job's book chapter 1 verse 21 to 22. If you read there, we see that Job's faith in the Lord did not shatter. Of course, he was impatient, no doubt. But
In the midst of all the sufferings of Job, his faith in the Lord was not shattered. He believed in God. First chapter 1 verse 21 and 22. Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God with folly. He never said that God is wrong. No. He trusted upon the Lord. There we see the long suffering of Job. The endurance. He was really crushed from all the sides. Unbearable problem he was facing. But in the midst of all the problems, he endured it. Patiently suffered, but never blamed God for that. Sometimes he was not knowing what is happening behind the whole thing. You know, in the scripture it is revealed, so we know what was the drama going on behind. Job never understood that Satan and God is there, the argument is going on. Finally, he understood that God has a purpose in his life. So we'll read one more verse, what was ultimately happened. Job 23 verse 10. 23 verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job understood that God is testing me, and ultimately I will come as gold purified. As one brother rightly said, God's name was glorified in this trial, and Job was purified by this trial. This is the ultimate objective of God. His name should be glorified and we should be purified. So that is what happened in the ultimately in this trial. Even I don't think Job knew. Probably Job, after his death only he might have understood what was going on in the heavenly realm. Behind the scene what happened. So some of the sufferings we have no answer here. Why this is happening. But only the eternity will reveal why this is happening. And we see that James says, let us come to the James chapter 5, what James says about it. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy who endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Patience means tremendous, not the same word is used elsewhere. It is a different word used. It means tremendous pressure of the situations. He lost his children, he lost his wealth, he lost his health, he is now, his wife is against him. All the tremendous pressure was upon him, and that pressure he could endure. It's like a high, something is kept in the pressure cooker, you know. That was the effect upon Job. And he was suffered all and have seen the end of it, or the product or the process of the profit of it. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job finally understood. God is merciful God. God was kind to him. And God really blessed him double. Whatever he lost, exactly double God has given to him. And all this happened because he endured the patience. The pressure upon him was too much. We know that. And sometimes we wonder in that case, why God allowed him to do that? He was so merciful. Why God allowed him to pass through that? As I told you, sometimes something happens behind the scene. We cannot understand why it happens. Only God knows why the sufferings comes. Sometimes we wonder whether my sufferings will go. Not necessarily sometimes, let me tell you frankly. This is what the scripture says. Not that all the sufferings will go. Not necessary. Sometimes we have to pray. In his time, maybe late time, but he will answer sometimes. But answer is sure. We know about Paul. For example, I will give the Paul. Paul asked, prayed for his sickness how many times? 3 times he prayed. What happened? Is there any answer? No, God said, no, not necessary. I need not do cure. God could have cured his sickness. We don't know what was his sickness, but he had some sickness. Serious sickness, which was a hindrance for his ministry. He continually prayed for God, but God did not heal him. But one God did, my grace is sufficient for. See, in the midst of suffering, when we pray, God gives the grace to bear that suffering. Sometimes he may not remove that suffering, but he will help us to carry on, and grace to carry on that suffering. So that is the importance of the God's God, children's prayer. When we pray, that will happen. So Paul realized that when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ Jesus. That is what Paul's experience. When he was weak, he understood the grace of God was abundantly showered upon him, and God has used him mightily. So we see that sometimes God may not remove it, but he will bear, he will give the strength to bear that. So we need to continuously pray for that. So another sign of our impatience, we read here, the one sign I told you, murmuring is one sign. Secondly, in verse 12, James chapter 5 verse 12, say that you should not swear, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your na, lest ye fall into condemnation. You know, when we, the sum of the statement, we say that by oath, we say that. That is a normal tendency of people. And in the scripture, we see the third commandment says that we should not take the name of the Lord in vain. Lord Jesus Christ also speaks about it. Some people say that they, Jewish people, they are very reluctant to take the name. They will not say, in the name of the Lord, I say, come, and like that, they will not take the oath. But they normally take the oath in some other name. In the name of Jerusalem, in the name of the temple, in the name of heaven and all this. But heaven is the place of God's dwelling. That's why, see, Matthew chapter 5, the Lord himself is speaking about it. Matthew chapter 5, 36, I think. Matthew 5, 36. Lord speaks about that. Neither shall thou swear by thy head. Okay, verse 33 onward. Again, he heard that it had been said by them of old, verse 33, thou shalt not perjure thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. You sometimes swear by heaven, but then you should understand there the God's throne is there. Then he says, nor by the earth, because it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem. You may be swearing by Jerusalem. Swear Jerusalem, whatever I made the statement is right. Then he says that it is the city of the great king. So in all, whatever swear, the God's name is coming. You are taking the name of the Lord in vain. That is what the Lord said. Finally, verse 36 says, neither shall thou swear by thy head. Sometimes people keep their hand and say that, swear, I just swear that whatever I said is right. So they want to justify their statement. Actually, they are taking the name of the Lord in vain. So when we are impatient, this is another thing which happens. We take the name of the Lord in vain. So there are two signs of impatience. That is, one is murmuring, and secondly, we take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, the patience, we need it. Let us look into the opposite side of it. Then we will understand the importance of the patience. The Satan always says that you should not be patient. This is all, God is not doing good to you.
God would have taken more care of you. All this problem is coming, God is not caring you. Probably some sin may be there in your life, that is what is happened. So Satan always gives a warning to the children that you should not be patient, you should be impatient. For example, Abraham, you look at that. What God told Abraham? I will bless you, you will have a child through Sarah, and your seed will be blessed. How many years they waited? 25 years, that is enough, no, isn't it? 75 years, when he was 75, God told him. 25 years Sarah and Abraham was waiting. Then finally he said, what is that? God is telling that we will have child, but we have a lot of property. This Eliezer is going to take everything. Now what is the idea? Sarah had an idea. We know the story, what happened. The impatient of Abraham, who is born, Ishmael was born. Even the world today, after 4,000 years, the world is facing the major problem because of that impatience. You look at that, Middle East. The Muslims and the Jewish people are still fighting, the simple reason, because Abraham was impatient. You know the consequences of impatience. You take, and so many examples are there. You take the example of Moses. God told him, you say, to the rock, the water will come. What happened? He was so impatient. He was so filled with anger. What he took it? He took the rod and beaten the rock. Not once or twice he beaten up. The water came. No, blessing came. Whatever God said, it came. But what happened? Because of the impatience, God told Moses, now you will not see the land of Canaan. Blessing is withheld from him. So that you look at the impatience and the patience. If we are patiently wait, sometimes it takes a lot of difficulties, problems we are facing. But if we are patiently waiting, God's blessing will come, definitely. So we have to bear the sufferings and the afflictions with the patience, so that Lord will give the fruit of it. But if there is impatience, definitely the consequences we have to bear. I think the Eve made the biggest mistake of Eve was that she was impatient. At least she should have waited. She said, okay, you are telling that if I eat this fruit, it is all right, I am going to be like God. Okay, I will consult with my husband. She said, no, we don't read like that. She took her own decisions. She should have waited little bit, or probably he was standing nearby. Should have consulted him. Adam, see this person, this is the snake is saying so and so. Is it right or not? Should have consulted. No consultation. No patience was there. What was the happen? Whole world is landed up in the problems. The sin entered in the world and the death consequences of it. So we look at the word, the importance of the patience in the Bible. If we have a patience, God will bless us. And if we have not, the consequences of that we may have to bear. But in this life, as I told you, we may have problems. Of course, our God is a compassionate and a merciful God. He will show mercy to us, no doubt, if we pray. But let me tell you once again very clear to you, not necessarily that all our sorrows will be removed. But in the midst of the sorrows, He will comfort us. What else we need? His grace is sufficient. I think that is more important. Sometimes we may have to pass through the fire. We may be in the midst of the fire, but He will send His angel with us. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were in the fire. Sometimes we may be in the storm, but His presence is there in the midst of the storm. That is more important. Sometimes storm may not go. Storm will come in our life. But in the midst of the storm, our Lord is there. So, let us thank God that our God is a God who cares for us, who loves us. No, I know you may be very familiar with that wonderful song. Probably you may know the story, background behind that. What a friend we have in Jesus. The young man, Joseph Scriven, his name was the Evangel. He was from Ireland. He learned the scriptures in the childhood. He was very godly man. And he decided to marry a girl. The engagement is over. The marriage was supposed to take place. Just the previous day of his marriage, of that, so an accident took place. She drowned in an accident, in a boat accident. She died. You can imagine the shock that the boy can get out of that. Scriven was so upset about that. Again, he committed everything to the Lord. And after some time, when the first grief was over, again he thought, I will get married with another girl. So they decided to marry a girl. It's so sad to say that after some time it was realized that she was suffering from TB. You know, there was no medicines at that time for TB. And that girl also died of TB. Really, he got so heartbroken. He moved from Ireland, I think he went to Canada later on. When he was there, his sorrows were there, but he tried to practice whatever the Lord has taught in the Mount of Sermon on the Mount. He was so practicing. He was living the perfect life of a Christian. He was sharing the gospel to the people around. He never thought of marrying again. And he heard that his mother is also very seriously ill. So some believers, some came to pray with him and to share with him or something. And when they were there, they saw a paper lying down there, just in the cupboard. They got a paper. And the writings are there. This is the writing. What a friend we have in Jesus. That words were there. They were so impressed with that verse. He said, when I passed through the sufferings, difficulties, I wrote down this one. They gave the tune to that, asked to give some music tune to that. And you know what happened? That song was so popular. You know, even now, it comforts thousands and thousands of people. When you look at the life of Joseph Scriven, actually he had passed through a lot of experiences, painful experiences. And out of the painful experiences, he wrote that beautiful hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And because of that, even now, thousands of souls are satisfied and comforted by that song. So sometimes God will allow such type of sufferings in our life, so that result is that it will bear precious fruit for the Lord. It is for the glory of God. So we should understand. As I told you about Job's life, it is clear that God's name was glorified and Job was purified. That is the ultimate objective of God in passing through, allowing us to pass through the sufferings. So may God help us to think about it, and we should understand that we are mortals. We should always depend upon the Lord. May God help us this verse to our heart, and let us sing to the hymn, the What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Hymn number 283.
Amen.